Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord God, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity, God, to be in your presence. I thank you, Father, that you have allowed us to be quickened again, Father, with your spirit and with your precious blood, that you've allowed our hearts and our minds to beat and to move, that you have allowed us, God, to breathe in the breath of you, God, the breath of life, Father. I thank you, God, that this day, God, like never before, is the day, God, that we have an opportunity, we have the right, we have the authority, we have the ability, God, to just worship you right now. And this is the day, Father, that we can show you how much we love you and show you how much we need you. God, this is the day, like never before, that you have given us the opportunity that we can glorify your name through all the earth. This is the day, Father, that many did not wake up on this day, but God, you saw fit that you made sure that we did. You made sure that our families did. You made sure that when we woke up, God, we were in our right mind. So Lord God, we just thank you for this day. Yes, the day that you have made. And Father God, even though we may seem like we may not feel like doing it, we may not want to do it, but we shall rejoice, God, and be glad in the day, God, that you have given us, Father, in spite of whatever may come our way. Lord God, we know that you have created something inside of us. You have given us something that we should know. That, Lord God, if you have given us the ability to wake up and see this day, then Lord God, you have also told us that you will be with us in this day. You will have favored us. You have blessed us. You have already ordained our path, and you have already ordered our steps that we may walk into the blessings that you have already ordained for this day right here, this day, this Sunday, this day that we shall worship you, this day that God, that we never thought could come. If we were to think about all the different things and trials and tribulations that we've gone on through this day, Lord God, this is the day that we thank you. Father, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that you've given us the opportunity to live life and live it more abundantly. You've given us the opportunity, Lord God, that we may praise and magnify and glorify your name. But Father God, I thank you that you've given us the opportunity that we may be able to spread love to your people, that we may be able to show them the love of Jesus Christ and his dying on the cross. I'm grateful, Father, that we have been opened up to see your glory. Oh God, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, for this day that you have given us. And Lord God, right now, in the midst of all, right now, we take the moment, we take the opportunity to open up our hearts and open up our minds and open up our spirits. And Lord God, we invite you to come in. We invite you to God, just move on this day. We invite you to just move inside of us, Father. Any place, God, that we found ourselves lacking, any place, God, that is gone weary, any place, God, that is contaminated, any place, God, that's not like you, any place, God, that is not giving you the glory, any place in our hearts, any place in our minds, any place in our soul, any place in our spirit, God, we arrest ourselves and we throw ourselves on the altar right now, this day, that God, you can be able to just fix us. Fix our minds and our soul that we may be pleasing unto you, Father. Allow us to forgive those that may have done us wrong, God. We don't want to hold that burden anymore. We don't want to hold that to their account. But Lord God, we choose to be free. We choose to be free and to magnify and to glorify your most holy and precious name. And if there is anything that is between us, God, anything that's causing us to be separated from you again, Lord God, we ask that you remove it now in the name of Jesus. Remove it, God, remove it. We don't want no part of it. We want it pushed away. If it's our pride, then God, bring our pride down. If it's our own insecurity, God, then remove that out the way. Lord God, we just want to be what the scripture says, that he that come to worship you, we want to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord God, we bring you our truth. We bring you our brokenness. We bring you our downtrodden state. We bring you our shortcomings. We bring you, Father, our imperfections and our impurities. We bring you that everything. Thing that God, we understand, God, we know that, Lord God, it takes you to sanctify us and to clean us up and to purify us, and we want to make sure, for like never before, that we be that church, God, that we be those people that when you call them home, that God, we shall be that church without any spot or wrinkle. So Father, this day, like never before, we choose to release it now. We choose to let it go. Every lust desire, every fleshly desire, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we release it. We release the hold right now. We break the attack. We break the struggle. We break the stronghold by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we present ourselves again unto you, Father, as your vessels. Use us as you see fit. God, in the name of Jesus, pour your oil upon us. Make us new. Make us fresh, God, in the name of Jesus. We come before you now. Arresting us. Putting us in the bondage of your purpose and your will. That we may please you again, God. That we may please you. That you may find joy in us. Lord God, we even accept the sufferings of this world. For God, they are far, far lighter than the glory that shall be revealed, Father, when it's all said and done. Because these things, God, work out a greater weight of glory that shall be revealed through us, shall be cultivating the anointing that's on inside of us. So, Father God, if there is any fear inside of us right now for this next dispensation of what you're about to do in our lives, Lord God, we ask you right now, because you have not given us that spirit. We've taken it on from some things. We've taken it on from our own mindset, our own inabilities, our own pride, whatever it is, God, we have taken that on. And Lord God, we want that to be removed. We want it to be released, that we may walk into the victory of your calling, walk into the victory of what you have ordained for us to be. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God, that we can sit here and praise you and glorify your name, oh God, without any apprehension. So Father God, this day, I choose to worship you. I choose to bless you. I choose to honor you. I choose to give you glory. I choose to magnify your most holy name. I choose, Father, I choose to allow you to reign, rule, and take ready. I choose, Father, I choose this day. I choose you right now. I choose you. And Lord God, thank you for accepting us. Thank you for making a way for us, God. Thank you like never before that you've always, always, God, put us first. In your love, you've always let your love draw us into you. Even when we were in treacherous places, we were in places that we may have been downtrodden, we may have been just jacked up in all kind of ways. God, we thank you that your loving kindness has drawn us to you. Has drawn us to you like never before. And Father God, I thank you. I magnify your name. We praise you. We lift you up. We glorify your name. Lord God, you are the everlasting God. You are the Alpha and the Omega. Oh God, you are the beginning and the end. You are the everything. You are the very air that we breathe. And Lord God, right now, we just spend this time just to worship you and to magnify your name and to just praise your name and to glorify you and to let you know that you are special to us just like you are. We are special to you. And let you know that feeling is mutual. God, God, that we love you just like you love us. And Lord God, we thank you, even though we know we're not worthy, but God, you still loved us, even though we know we didn't deserve it. You still loved us, God. You still made a way for us, God. And for that, we thank you. We glorify your name. We magnify you. We lift you up, God. You are worthy, God. You are Alpha. You are Omega. You are the beginning and the end, God. You are first and last. You're the very, very, very breath that we breathe, God. You're our sanctity. You are the reason that we are here. You are the reason that we are in this life, in our jobs, with our families. You are the reason. Father God, we can do nothing without you. We are nothing without you. For in you we move, and God, we have our being, God. So we thank you. We thank you once again this day. Like never before, Father, we choose to believe the supernatural is taking place in our lives. We choose to believe, Father, that you are doing a work inside of us like never before. We choose to believe that there is nothing, God, nothing. There is nothing that can overtake us. There is nothing that can overpower us. There is nothing that can destroy us. But Lord God, you hold us with your right hand, God. Your love, God, will never be separated from us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing, neither death nor life, God. But we thank you that this love engulfs us, enwraps us around, and it keeps us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. God, I thank you for taking our minds to a place where there's peace and there's joy, taking our minds to a place that's soon to come, where we shall be able to fellowship with you and your Son again, to see you in all your splendid glory, to be at your feet, and to bow down as the seraphims and the cherubims and worship you without ceasing. Worship you for all that you have done. Worship you, God, that we'll be able to see the magnificent rest and beauty that you're bringing down to this world, that we can adore you, and we can just lift you up even higher than you were before. And we can truly thank you for all that you have done, how you protected our children and how you protected our families, Lord God. Now you're protecting this nation, even in the midst of a crisis and a pandemic. It's not a pandemic to you, Father. It's not a crisis to you. For God says in your word that if my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they shall hear a voice from you, God. God, this is not a pandemic, but this is a calling. This is not an epidemic, Father, but this is a time that we shall pray. A time that we shall call and draw self and draw near to you, that you may speak again and move again. So Lord God, we take it not for granted. We take it not for granted how you blessed us throughout this days, these weeks, these months, how you provided for our needs, God. When others seem to be dwindling down, Father, you always lifted us up. When others' bank accounts seem to be depleted, Father God, our faith in you, you have allowed us not to be forsaken, Father, because we've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. And Father, you have met our needs according to your riches and glory. And this day, Father, I pray that those that are sick, God, we speak healing upon their lives right now. We plead and decree and declare and plead the blood of Jesus over them, that they shall be healed and not sick. We come against any type of blood pressure, any type of hypertension, any type of cancer, any type of sickness and disease. We command it to loose their hold right now by the authority of Jesus Christ. For whom the Son has set free, they shall be free indeed. And Father, he has given us the victory over sickness and disease. For in the word it says that by your stripes we are healed and we are made whole. So Father, we command and we declare and we decree. But furthermore, God, we grab hold to our healing. We grab hold to our deliverance, that we shall not be shackled and bound by the tricks and the traps of the enemy. But Lord God, we shall be victorious in your name. We shall be victorious in the very essence of everything that you have ordained us to walk into. So Father God, right now I pray that you strengthen the feet of every believer, that you allow them to stretch out, God. Allow them to remove the tent pegs and do things that they have never done before. For God, you have given them the equipment, the authority, and the push, that they may walk into territories, God, before they have the authority and the ability to tread on scorpions and lions and shall be victorious. We have this authority through you, through Christ Jesus. And Lord God, let us walk into it even the more. Let us walk with our heads held high, Father, giving you glory and praise and honor and praise in your most holy name. That God, we know that we walk in your stead, that who can be who can be against us if you be for us? So Father, every trial, every situation, every tribulation, every mountain, every struggle, every stronghold, we command it to fall right now. Every every gap that is in this ground, we command it to be drawn together that we may walk safely upon. Lord God, you are the bridge. You'll supernaturally do things in our lives. We are waiting for the supernatural, God. We are looking forward. God, it shall come to pass, God. We thank you. Like never before. Hey, Hagabosha, feel the anointing upon us. Hagabosha, blow like a fresh wind upon us now. That we shall do great and marvelous things for your glory. So we not sit on our seats and do nothing, God. But we shall declare and decree your name upon this earth. We shall walk in righteousness. We shall be holy. We shall be righteous. My God. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you now. I honor you right now. I bless your name now. I magnify your name now. I give you the praises right now. Oh, yes, we glorify your name right now. My God, glory, hallelujah, Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus. Precious Jesus, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood that warms, that heals, that soothes, that brings life, that breaks shackles, that loose the chains. This victorious blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. My God. And Father God, I command right now by the authority of Jesus Christ that every dark cloud and every weight that is over your people, we command it to be destroyed now. We command that in the blood of Jesus Christ break every chain and every fetter, breaks every struggle and stronghold that your people have faced. I come against the cloud and the vain imagination of the enemy that tries to bring fear and to get up off of our assignment. I command right now by the authority of Jesus Christ that you loose your hold on your people, that you break and you remove yourself from their presence and never to return anymore. Go back to the pits of hell from which thine came. And we command you to stay away. For this move that God is doing has already been ordained and it has been called victorious. We shall walk therein. We shall do our assignment. We shall complete the task. We shall run the race. We shall gain the prize. And we shall bring others with us. We shall snatch them from the fire. We shall snatch them from the very pits of hell and decree and declare in their life purpose and command restoration to take place now. That they are beloved by the beloved, that they are a royal priesthood, that they are not downtrodden, that their life has purpose and has meaning, that God has a purpose and a plan for them. And we shall snatch them out the very grip of the enemy. They shall not be destroyed. But Lord God, whoever we come in contact with, they shall walk into this thing called grace. They shall walk into this thing called mercy, and it shall be used to take them from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And Lord God, I thank you. I feel the anointing of right now, of our purpose and our plan. Father, we may be small in number, but we are mighty in spirit. And Lord God, strengthen your people, your sons and your daughters for the race that's to come. And for that, God, we give you praise. We give you honor. And we give you glory. Come on and give God some praise. Give God some accolades. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. Just come on, if you can just put up some hearts and just join in right now. I believe God is doing something right now in your life. You may not see it, you may not know it, but it's working behind the scenes. It's working because it has to work. That's the promise that he has for you, is that he will always take care of you. He will provide all of your needs according to the riches and the glory of his glory. And it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. He's making room and he's making ready right now. So just lift up your hands and just give him praise. I know it may seem strange to you. It may seem weird to you. It may seem as though it doesn't make sense. But sometimes God wants you to do things that are supernatural and seem to be strange and odd. Because it may not make sense to man, but it always makes sense to God. And right now, you have the ability, you have the time. Just lift up your hands in praise and give God some praise right now. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I praise your name. Give him praise. Come on. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Again, he is worthy. Praise God. He is worthy, 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 worthy of all praise. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Robo Shatada. Just want to praise him. I can't praise him enough. And I don't have 10,000 tongues, but this one tongue that I have, I just want to praise him right now. I just want to give him glory for all that he has done and all that he is doing. Just because of the fact that he loves me and loves me alone. And just because of the fact that I know that he loves you and loves you for who you are. You don't have to put on any type of show. You don't have to put on any type of facade or change yourself in any kind of way. He loves you right there in your broken place. He loves us right there in that place where we feel like we are nothing, that we are just not even worthy. But he still loves us, and that's the reason why he loves us. Because of our unique inabilities. Our unique inabilities. And I just want to thank him. I just want to glorify him for everything that he's done in my life. He has been a blessing to me. He's blessed my family. He's blessed me with a beautiful wife. Blessed me with a second chance. Blessed me with a beautiful children. My God, my mother is still living. I have awesome church family and church friends that encourage and that are truly have a will and a desire to be pleasing to the sight of the Lord. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm blessing. God, I'm grateful. Oh God, I'm grateful for all that you have done. Father God, I thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you for everything that he has done in my life. And I give him glory. Amen. Welcome to the Restoring the Remnant radio broadcast. My name is Pastor Robert J. Douglas, and I am so humbled to be here before you today. You could have gone anywhere else and you could have done anything, but I'm so glad you are here with us today. I'm so glad you are here with us, ready to receive a word from the Lord. Right now, I believe God has something that he wants to say. Every day he speaks to us. Every day he is constantly giving us and reminding us of things to come and reminding of his love towards us. And today, like never before, is a time that we usually set aside that we may just stop everything that we're doing and listen to the word of God. So, Father, I pray right now that this flesh, this man that you have put before your people, that my spirit, my will, my desire is brought down now. That, Lord God, your will, your purpose, and your plan be magnified. Speak through me, God, to your people that they may be blessed, that they may be healed, that they may be delivered, that they may be encouraged, that they may know the value that you have, that they'll know that they are kings and queens walking in royal regality and priesthood. Let them know who you are to them. And furthermore, God, let them know what they are to you. And for that, Father, I will be satisfied that you are glorified. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to share a few things with you. Welcome to all of you that are here on our podcast. We thank you for coming along. We thank you for sharing this. If you want to connect with our ministry, by all means, you can go to our website, which is rtrmi.org. There, we ask that if anything, if you're enjoying anything that you're doing, if you're getting something out of it, in order for us to keep this podcast and everything going, God has been gracious for our supporters, but we can always need use extra support. If you desire to be a part of this ministry, on this podcast in itself, there is a link button. You can donate, or just any gift would be highly appreciated. And it's for the work of the kingdom and the pushing of the body of Christ. Amen. But for today, I do have a message that God has put in my heart. It started last week, and I wanted to share it with you today, and I believe that you shall be blessed by it. So without further ado, if you would turn your Bibles with me, and we're going to go into the chapter of Luke, the book of Luke, 13th chapter, starting at the 22nd through the 35th verse. Luke 13, 22 through 35. Amen. And I'll give you time while you're getting it. I'll give you time to get it all together, because I believe that God shall speak to you in something that he has given me. Amen. And if you are taking notes, if you are the one that is studious and likes to, you know, jot down different things, and I always try to put a title on my message so that way you can understand the gist of what it was. And if you ever need to refer back to it, you remember the title in itself, and hopefully will resonate with you. But today I want to give you the theme or the title of our message, The Narrow Door. The Narrow Door. Amen. The Narrow Door. In Luke, the 13th chapter, 22nd through the 35th verse, and it reads as this. And he says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. That's our theme number 24. Let's read that again. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. 25th verse. When once the master of the house is risen up and have shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. 28, there shall be a weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there at least which shall be first, and they are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, I do curses today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Giving God here a praise for the reading and the hearing of his word. This scripture is a very powerful scripture to me because of the fact that it begins to challenge us and it begins to bring something to our understanding. And I wanted to really just focus more so keenly on the verse that stands out the most to me, and that's verse 24. And that's really our theme of everything. And verse 24 in the New King James, or the King James Version, says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Now, if I were to look into any other interpretations of Luke, that same scripture, and you can try to find it yourself, it does say something a little bit more plainer. Okay? It may not say an actual gate, but for the most part, it talks of a door. Talks of a door, or if not necessarily a door, but a place of entry. A place of entry. And as I begin to think about this particular scripture and I begin to meditate on it, and when God gave me the title of saying the narrow gate, I began to think about so many different things. And one thing that was brought to my remembrance was when I was in school, and there was this poet, an older poet, an older, you know, historic poet. His name was Robert Frost. And he had a poem that I'm actually going to read to you over this phone. I want you to bear with me because it may not make sense to you, but it will eventually. But he had this poem that he constructed, and the poem itself was called The Road Less Traveled. And I will try in my best way to read this poem to you. And I want you to, if anything, just to really listen carefully of what it's saying. And it starts off like this. It says, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry, I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood, and I looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as far, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that passing there had won them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on the way, I doubt if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a woods, and I took the one that's traveled by. And this and that, excuse me, has made all the difference." I wanted to read that because when I read that particular passage or that particular poem from Robert Frost, and I didn't understand it when I was reading it a long time ago, but it was talking about decisions, 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 decisions. It was talking about how in our lives we have to make decisions. You know, we make decisions on what we're going to eat for the weekend. We make decisions on what clothes we're going to wear. We make decisions on what area in our lives we're going to live. We make decisions on so many different things. Are we going to pay this bill, or are we going to pay that bill, or how are we going to pay it? Are we going to use an ATM card, debit card, so on and so forth? We have so many decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes, if you don't really think about it, if you don't really count them up in each, you probably make at least maybe 100 or 20 decisions, either verbally, audibly, or just by making that decision. You make decisions. Decisions, decisions on a daily basis. And these decisions that we make, some may be minimal, some may be small, some may not be worthy at all. I know I'm rapping, but I ain't meaning to. It's just how the anointing is flowing. But every decision that we make in life all creates or begins to push our future in a certain type of way. We may make a decision to go to the military when we're coming out of high school, and that will start a pattern or a course in our lives that brings us to our end time. Or we may have decided not to go to college or not to go to the military, but to work or not to work at all. And that decision at that time has caused certain things to take place in our lives. Today, as we are facing so many different things, we have many decisions that we have to make. Right now, the biggest decision that I believe that is coming up is actually two big decisions that's coming up. One is the presidential and the candidate race, whereas we have to decide on who we are going to vote on. Who is it that we want to lead us into this next year, this next next future, this next time that we have? You know, if we make the wrong or choose the wrong way, then we have to suffer the consequences of the decision that we made before. And right now, I think that in our world, as we can already tell, that some decisions that we did or did not make, either we voted or we chose not to vote, so to speak, it yet still was a decision and it had or caused a particular result, right? Another thing that we are dealing with now is in down here in Florida, and I don't know if it's anywhere else or whoever may be reading this or watching this podcast, is that we have the decision now to try to get our kids ready for school and decision of keeping them at home and allowing them to, you know, to learn virtually or to allow them to go into the school system and be at the mercy or the whim of hoping that they will protect our kids as they go throughout their day being protected from this particular coronavirus situation that has become an epidemic throughout the whole nation. That is a decision that we have to make. Now, the thing about that decision is that you use many different things to hopefully make the decision that you want to make it a favorable decision. And you weigh both sides of it. You weigh the risk of putting them into school, but also the gain that they'll have more personal attention. And then you weigh the other side as far as maybe keeping them out of school. They may be protected from different things at home, but they may lose the ability to have more one-on-one attention when it comes to their schoolwork. But nevertheless, we all have decisions. We have a decision that we have to make. But I'm so grateful that one thing that I realized when it came to our Christian walk, when we were created, when we were fathomed, when we were shaped out of the dust of the ground and God began to breathe life, one thing that he gave us, not only did he give us life itself, but another gift that he gave us was the ability to have free will. In other words, it was the ability to make our own choice. Now, that particular ability was more so geared towards the choice of being able to serve him or not to serve him. And if you think about it in its entirety, you would think that, okay, well, not really, because of the fact that he created us, you would think that we serve him, but it's not so. You think about it like this: Christ, God, never forced himself on us. We have the ability, we have the free will to choose him if we do or we don't. And even in that, he does give us the consequences of letting us know what each decision may make, but he doesn't force us to worship him. He doesn't force us to praise him. He doesn't force us to turn back around and give our lives to him. He doesn't force us. He allows people to make their own decision in life. Now, he does tell them that, okay, the wages of sin is death. The gift and the serving of God is eternal life, and I'm paraphrasing, but he gives us the robes. As we talk about from Robert Frost, he gives us the roads, or in the scripture, the doors that we should go through. And we make that choice of which way we want to go. Just like the movie, The Matrix. It's funny because you have the choice of the blue pill or the red pill. The blue pill will give you this particular path and the red pill will give you that path. We have the opportunity to make a choice. And sometimes that choice is a pivotal crossroad in many of our lives. It is a road that we have to decide if we're going to go to the left or if we're going to go to the right. Now, the deciding factor on many things that we may do as far as when we make our decisions is a lot of times we look at the status quo. We look at what other people are doing or what other people think. We look at what the majority says or what the majority speaks. It's like, say, for example, when it comes to fashion, when there is a fad that comes out, if more people like it. That is what is dictated as being the hot and the newest item. That is dictated what's being the price or the valuable item, the name brands and all these different things. Because a certain amount of people are wearing it, or because a certain type of people are wearing it, that gives that thing a particular amount of value. And oddly enough, for some people, because of the fact they choose not to really be individualized, or they want to be accepted, or they want to be a part of the in crowd, they will constantly fall into that place that makes it easier for them to decide, well, if everybody else is doing it, then that must be the thing to do. If all my friends at school or all my friends at work are liking this particular thing, then that must be the thing that is liked. If 120 people on a rating has rated this product as being good, or rated this path as being the right thing to do, then that must be the right way, or the right path, or the right thing to do. The majority, people fall in the majority. They look at the majority. They look at what other people are making their decisions on, and basing their decisions on what other people say. But God never wanted you to do that. God never wanted you to follow the majority. Matter of fact, if we think about this awesome thing that he has given us, he's given us a free will. He's given us the ability to make a choice. He's given us the ability, you know, and it's interesting, he's given us the ability to decide. When we think about our Christian walk and we compare it to the relationship that we have with our children, yes, when they are in our house, we train up the child as the way that they should go. We teach them right from wrong. They can't do certain things in our house because of the fact they are in our house. But when they go outside, they have the ability to make their own decisions because they're considered to be, quote unquote, as far as they think, grown. And they can decide if they want to, if they decide to pick up the habits of cigarettes or pick up the habits of alcohol when they become of age to do so. They can decide if they want to have a life where they don't keep their bodies safe and protected and save themselves for their husband or for their wives, but yet given to their fleshly desires at that time. They honestly can decide as being a grown adult. However, it is such a precious and a awesome thing when a person begins to decide to do the thing that's less common, even though they know they're not going to get a greater gain. What am I saying? Doing the thing that is less popular, or doing the thing that is not seem to be the right way, or matter of fact, it kind of goes against the grain. You know, that's what Robert Frost was talking about, is where he looked at these two paths that was walking down a trail, and one seemed to be where it was, you know, the path was already kind of laid out because it seemed to be a lot of people traveling there. So the leaves may have been, you know, padded down, and it gave a clear path of how certain people have walked. And that may have been, you know, a pretty decent path. But then he looked at this other path, and it seems as though, and I'm just paraphrasing and just kind of thinking in the mind that what he was saying is that it may not have been charted territory, but it seems like it was a path that you can barely see, and it seemed like the grass was growing over, and you can tell that many people didn't go there. And sometimes what happens is when we look at something that many people have not chosen, we get fearful, or we decide that, okay, yeah, I don't want to go down there. And you know, that's interesting, because that is how our walk is with Christ. That is how our walk is in our Christian life. That is how our walk is when God begins to say, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. That is how that walk is. And a lot of times what happens is that we begin to look at what everybody else is doing. But when we make that decision to say, you know what, I'm going to go or to walk through the narrow door. I'm going to walk through that door that may not be as popular as many people have think. I'm going to walk through that door that may not be, may not be easy to walk through, but for some reason, I want to strive and walk through that narrow door. I'm reminded of a time when I had used to work at a company, and one of their biggest models, or one of their biggest themes, so to speak, was this. And it was profound to me in a way because of the fact it lined itself up with my particular value and my belief. And one of the things that it said, and this is for a multi-million dollar company that, you know, that has been around for years and years and years and has been very successful and very strong in what they're doing. So they have the ability to say what they're saying because they have actually practiced that and seen the results of it. And the motto that they have is do the right thing or it's the right because it's the right thing to do. Do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And even though it may not be something that is you know, found in the Old Testament or the New Testament, so to speak, but it is something that you can definitely believe is dripped with the very anointing of God because it is a part of his principles and a part of what he desires for us to do. Do the right thing, for it is the right thing to do. Now, many times we find ourselves in places where we come to that place in our lives after we done left out of our mom's house and we decided to live our life and kind of do our own thing. And there's a sense of you know, kind of feeling yourself or smelling yourself when you get, because what you feel, you get grown. And as you begin to go in life and you begin to make the decisions, you know, to be a part of the in crowd, you may go out to the clubs, you may go out to the parties, you may go out to these different things. And it so seemed like to be the most popular and the most celebrated thing to do. As you begin to go on in life, you begin to find out that place that many people are running to is not always the best place to be. That place that you have seen your friends go to and your family members go to, and that place of or that lifestyle or whatever it may be that you find that is a wide door that so many people are running into, that wide door that is so attractive to so many people because of the fact there's glory on that side, so it seems. There's victory on that side, so it seems. There's riches on that side. There's popularity and fame and fun and all these different things. And we are running to that wide door. And sometimes what we fail to realize, and many of us may have realized it as we ran to that wide door, we ran to the thing that's most common, is that as we ran through that door, after a while, whatever we thought was there, it really wasn't that great at all. And when we made the decision to say, you know what, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to try something new. And I can say for myself, when I begin to understand that wide door and I begin to realize that wide door has its own set of consequences, that wide door has its own set of responsibilities, just like that narrow door. And the more older and more sure in the word that I got, and the more I begin to know about Christ, and the more I begin to walk in my path as whatever he has called me to be, or what he's called me to be as far as the elevation of you know, becoming a pastor, prophet, teacher, and all these different things, and coming into walking into it, being an apostle and all these different things as well, and whatever it may require, I realize that in that emerging in our lives, or that when God begins to push you and move you and begin to be present in your life and begin to shape your very thoughts, your very mindsets, that many times he begins to let you know that the wide door is not as celebrated or is not as good as it seems to be. And he tells you to strive, as what Christ did, and he's talking to disciples. He tells them to strive for the narrow door. So we have two comparisons, as Robert Frost talks about. We have two roads. We have the wide door that everybody is running to, and we have the narrow door, which is not easily selected, or is not really much traveled. And stand before you many times is two doors. Now, this goes far beyond that door of salvation. This goes far beyond that. And I'm going to tell you this, and this is the reason that I believe that it's going to be a blessing for many people, because this door that God is calling us to is the door that talks about or leads us to a place of being holy. And many people want salvation, but they don't want to be holy. They want to go to church and to get praise breaks and to get the feeling and the emotion, which is the wide door, but they don't want to basically live the lifestyle of what salvation really is encouraging you to do, is to, you are saved so that you may be Christ-like, not that you are saved so that you can be in a praise party, not that you are saved so that you can just wrestle at that door of going back and forth, dealing with your sins and dealing with your past and doing what feels good in your body still, but coming to church and be forgiven of your sins, knowing when your heart has not been turned and ready to go back out there again and get a part of whatever it is, going to church and not really allowing your heart to change or your mind to change or your soul to change, but going to church and just being a part of this in crowd, of this popular being, of going to the biggest church that has the most sensational preacher, or going to the biggest church that has the most dynamic praise team and worship team. Oh, that music was on point. Oh, the preacher was hopping and flipping over the chairs, and he was flipping over the benches, and he did a backflip off of the podium. He did this. The preacher did that. He laid hands on the sick and they fell out, and he did this. All these different acts, and they may be good, but you're not going for the changing of your heart and your mind, but you're going just to see a show. And many people are running to these things. And matter of fact, it has been so sensationalized that if we're not careful, that the enemy begins to see the trend of what's going on, and he'll begin to step into that trend and begin to pervert it so that he can lead people to a place of distraction. That's why right now you'll find that many people and many churches that were not truly called by God have now been destroyed. You'll find church splits and different things of that nature. And no, I'm not saying that they did not preach the word of God. I'm not saying that they did not do these things or whatever the case may be. But sometimes you'll find churches where the crowds were big and the offering was raised and the building was awesome and the things were magnificent and all these different things. But eventually you'll find that there were different things that were done and hidden under the scenes, and there were things that came out to the forefront where there was things that the leaders did that was not pleasing to the sight of the Lord, that they were giving into their fleshly desires, and you see this thing displayed throughout the world, and the enemy comes in and he'll begin to take these things and to try to make that to be what the church is supposed to be. But that's not what God had ordained, because Christ himself says that we should strive to go through the narrow door. I'm not saying that having a good and great praise and worship team is not of God. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that a sensational preacher that's preaching the word of God, and he may be so charismatic that it brings you in and you feel moved, you feel an emotion. I'm not saying these things, but we should strive that no matter what we do, that everything that we do in our lives is conditioning us to make sure that we are presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, that we are doing things and we are involved in things that is allowing us to be shaped and formed and transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may be and see the likeness of Christ in our lives and in our hearts. That is the thing that we are supposed to strive to. And many people don't want to be like Christ. Many people don't want their lives to be like Christ. They don't want to walk the way that Christ walked. They don't want to talk the way that Christ talked. They don't want to live the way that Christ lived, because it doesn't seem popular. It is the road that is less traveled by. It is the door that is usually avoided, because with that particular door, it comes a responsibility. That door has many things attached to it. That door, you got to be strong to walk through that door. You got to know for certain who God is, who Christ is, and the fellowship of the sufferings. You got to know what is all requires you to go through that narrow door. And that narrow door, which is not easily populated, it's not celebrated on YouTube. There's no awards there on that side. There's no accolades on that side. There is no monetarily value on that side. But glory be to God is that I realize that striving for that narrow door, or that narrow door, excuse me, or striving to be what he has called, what he has ordained, not my will, but God's will, not to make a name for myself in the wide door and to be on TBN and to be on the Christian television network, or to be in the circles of all these great pastors and preachers, so to seem, and to them know my name and them to see me and preach, not to be a part of that, but to live a life that is pleasing to God, that they may see Christ in me, that they may see Christ in my decisions that I choose to make, that they may see the essence of Christ, even when it may hurt me to my core, but God is glorified. That is the door that we strive for. That is the narrow door that we should. And here's the reason why. Because even though that door is set with its own levels of ridicule and persecution, it is yet the door that Christ desires that you to go through. I just said it not too long ago, but let's go into a few more scriptures so that we will understand some of these different things. And it is with that Christ has decided to tells them to strive to that narrow door. Because here's the thing, and as you think about it in the scripture, as it goes further down, you don't know it now. You don't know it right now. It may not seem like it right now. And I want to encourage you right now. I want to take this time to encourage you. I want to take this time just to speak life into you. It may not seem like it right now. But when you begin to get to a place where your heart is pure, when you get to that place where you are just hanging on to God's hand, you are constantly challenging yourself, you are asking God to forgive you of some of the things that you feel and that you know are not right in your spirit, in your soul, you're constantly saying, God, you begin to work on me, work on my heart, work on my mind, and you begin to do the things that is conducive of what a Christian is supposed to be. And what I mean by that is kind of like what the motto was for that business, do the right thing, for it's the right thing to do. When you go to the grocery store and that person gives you extra change and you know that you're not supposed to give extra change, and you make all your efforts to go back and make sure you give that extra change back to that person, that's what I'm talking about. When somebody says something to you and you begin to settle in yourself, you know what, I'm not going to snap back. Even though you might be rightly deserving of doing so, but you said, you know what, whatever it is that I may have done, I apologize, and I hope that, you know, you can go on. Let me buy you lunch. Let me take care of this for you. That is the right thing. When you know in your heart that even though you may have been talked about, you may have been criticized, you may have been ridiculed, they may have basically thrown your name up and down all through the mud, and you begin to say, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Have mercy on their soul. Touch the very heart of them, God, and begin to heal them. Heal the hurt, God, that they may be set free. That is the right thing. And that is the door that is not always celebrated. But that is the door that God wants us to gravitate to. That is the door that he desires for us to walk in. That is the door that he gets glory out of. That is the door that even though you have a free will, listen to what I'm saying, you have a free will to choose whatever you want to do. You have the free will to decide which way you're going to go. You have that free will, yes, but when you begin to take your free will and submit it back unto God and begin to say, you know what, Lord, for God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live my life so that you may be glorified. That very thing that he paid for, you lay it back down in his feet, which is your life. That is something powerful. And I guarantee you that you will not lose. You will not lose. You will not lose. You will not. Trust me when I say this. You will not lose. You have not lost anything, but you have gained everything. You've not given up anything. You're not missing out on the reward. But matter of fact, you are in line, in position to get the reward that he has for you. And that reward, my God, is great. That reward is marvelous. It may not be a house. It may not be a car. It may not be your name in lights or your name in every publication on this world. You may not be as popular as you think, but it is the ability and having the assurance that when it's all said and done, and when this life is over, that you'll be able to begin to ascend up to where he is in his presence and hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And it's kind of like your child. You know, you teach them the way that they should go. And when they grow old, they will not depart from it, right? And they go out and they live their life. They become 20, 21, 22, and 23, and 24, and all these things. And when they get to that place of being responsible or being an adult, and they are now held accountable for the things that they do on their own life, on their own, they're no longer, you know, a baby unless they have some type of physical or, you know, mental condition. But they're no longer a baby, so to speak, where you have to now teach them how to do certain things. You have to lead them and show them the right. They're out of that. They've grown into, they've matured into that level, right? So it is a true blessing when you see your children, okay, listen to what I'm saying, begin to do the right things in their lives. They didn't have to, but they chose, said, you know what, I choose to have a relationship with Christ myself. And they find and glean from that relationship, that same relationship that you have been encouraging to them to do, that they were not disappointed. They were not, tricked, that the very thing that you were saying or the very thing that they saw you go through in your life and how you worship God, how you believed in God, how you blessed him, how you give him glory. And when things seem to be down, when things seem to be low or things seem to be at their worst, and you still praise God in the midst of it, even when the lights were cut off, you still had joy. And they begin to walk into those same things themselves and begin to decide to say, you know what, I'm going to live for Christ. And they begin to see the rewards of doing so, and they make the decision to shift their whole heart and their mind to walk through that narrow door. That is a blessing. That is a blessing to see your children find something that will secure their eternal existence in this world. That is the blessing. When your child acts right, even when you're not around, when your child does the right thing, even when you're not around, it brings a blessing to the father. It brings a blessing to the mother. It brings a blessing to those that are over them. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it is the very thing that they begin to understand, that is the very thing that I have to do. It's not, there's no question about it. I have to be respectable. I have to be the one that's going to do the right thing. That is no question at all. It is not where I can just live my life all willy-nilly, I don't care. And the thing about it is that there's going to come a time that the people that thought that they could enter into Christ through one way, they're going to be surprised that when that particular door gets shut and the narrow door that has been offered to them, that has been offered to them for generations and generations to come, is no longer there. They are stuck. And when they get stuck, they panic and they're knocking on, hey, okay, let us in, let us in, let us in, let us in. Yeah, you remember me? We used to hang together. Yeah, you used to be my boy. I did this in your name. Remember that? I did this in your name, God. Yeah, but you were far. I don't know who you are. I don't recognize who you are. Yes, you might have prophesied and you might have preached and teached and all that stuff, but your heart wasn't in it. You were doing it for the wrong motives. You did it because you wanted to get over here. And I don't hang with those people. Here's my path. And I don't know who you are. I don't want Christ to say to me, Bobby, I don't know who you are. My God, that would just break my heart. It's breaking my heart now. I don't know who you are. I don't know. Yeah, you might have did the right thing, but I still don't know who you are because your heart was turned for me. When people talked about you and you retaliated, I don't know you. That's not my child. My child wouldn't do that. You know that. You know, kind of how sometimes, you know, when your child, let me back up. When we go to the school, right, and people say, you know, your child did this, your child is like, no, that's not my child. That's not my child. Now, for some of those that have a true understanding about the character of your child, you know your child. You know, but sometimes you go to that school and they show you what your child doing, and you happen to sneak up on them, and they just being just as wild as rudely as they want to be, and you sneak up on them, it's just a shock. And you tear something up, but then hopefully you tear that behind up. Anyway, But you know what I'm talking about. Keisha, I ain't gonna even say nothing, Keisha. I'm gonna keep on going, Keisha, Miss Keisha. Miss Keisha from RTRMI with the two deacons. I'm just gonna keep on going. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But when you see your child, and you know that when you begin to see how your child operates and moves, and you understand and you know, just like Christ knows us, and you see, just like Christ knew, matter of fact, or God knew Job, and he knows each and every one of us in that same capacity. When he was faced with some type of trick of the enemy, when the enemy wanted to devour him and wanted to destroy him, wanted to find someone that he can, you know, really, you know, break and tear down, that will not praise God, that will curse God and prove to God something. And God knew that, okay, have you considered my servant Job? He will not curse me. He knew his heart. He knew what he was doing. He knew it. And he put him in the path of the lion. But he said to him, you cannot kill him. You can do whatever you need to do just to prove the point, but I'm going to guarantee you, you can't kill him. You will not be able to kill him. And everything that Job went through, and as he began to seem like it was a demise for him, he still honored God. He didn't understand everything, but he honored God. So God knew his heart, okay? Even when he wanted to question God about where his task was, what did he do wrong, he still knew that Job was still an upright man. He didn't curse him and continue to destroy him. So God knew the heart of his son, just like when we know the heart of our children. And we say, no, that don't sound like their character. Let me kind of see what's going on. Let me give them the benefit of the doubt, see what's going on. And when you find out that there's something else in the scene, that something may have been off, that they did the right thing, but it's not being interpreted as the right thing, and it's kind of twisted a little bit on the other side, then you'll stand up for your child, because you know that their heart is pure, and they have proven that their heart has been pure. And it's not because they're disrespecting anybody. It's just that there's come the time when you have to do the right thing and you have to stand on what you know. And sometimes the right thing may not be received by everybody, or they'll try to twist it because of the fact they can't get you. And when you still stand firm, then he knows your heart and he begins to bless you. And he begins to move it on your behalf all the time. I've seen it in my life all the time. He has moved on my behalf. All the time I've seen those that have decided to do the right thing in life, to forgive, to let go, to stand firm, to just, you know, to be pleasing, to walk in the word when other people don't. And even though they may have a high title and they still don't walk in the way that they're supposed to, and they're still conniving, they're still doing these things. And you still, even though you may not have that title, you may not have their accolades, but God says you got to be the example. You got to be the anointed and not the offended. You got to be the one that's going to bring the love of Jesus Christ in this situation. And sometimes that position is the hardest position that you will ever have to face in your life. But yet, God still will stand with you, because it is the door that he is telling you to strive for. It is the door that's going to be your out. Oh, my God. It's going to open up your blessing. It's going to open up your release. It's going to open up your healing. It's going to open up your deliverance. It's going to put you in a place where God has already ordained for you to be by striving for that narrow door. And here's the thing about it. People may call you weird. They may say you crazy. They may say you a holy roller. They may tell you it don't take all that. Yes, it does. It takes all of that. It takes worship. It takes for me to pray. It takes for me to fast. It takes for me to turn away when I want to just go off. It takes for me to try to put myself in the hands of God and begin to humble myself before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt me in the time that he see fit. It takes for me to just hush my mouth and begin to tell them, you know what? It's not even important anymore. It's not even worth it anymore. It's not even, you know, may God forgive both of us, and that we may grow into him. Let God be glorified. Let God be magnified. Sometimes it takes for you just to walk away. And sometimes you got to just praise God and worship God, even when things don't seem to go your way. Yes, it takes all of that. It takes you to be so crazy. Most people won't do that. It will take you to be so crazy in love with him, so crazy in your worship, so crazy and so adamant in your prayer life that you have to do that, because that's the only thing you know, and that's the only thing that you know that truly works. because you're not going by the status quo of everybody else. Because whatever they say that works is going to fall. I guarantee you it's going to fall. It's going to fall. It is. It's going to fall. What we do for Christ is going to last. That's it. The things that we do for Christ is going to last. And I'm a firm believer, and I've seen it in my life and other people's life, that even when we do the things for Christ and it doesn't seem like he rewards us and blesses us on this side, my God, there are blessings and rewards on this side. And it may not be, and sometimes it is, may not be the blessings that you think. But have you ever had just a sure level of peace in your heart about something that many people were trying to get you to do, but did not? There's a peace that you can gain in your heart for just trusting God and allowing him to do what he's doing in your life right now. There's a peace that comes. There's a certainty that says, you know what? Hey, God, you got this. There's a peace in letting it go and trusting God. And most people, odd as it may seem, that's the narrow door, for many people. You know, I can't trust them, but that for us, that's the narrow door. I got to trust them. I got to trust them when I can't see them. I got to trust them when it doesn't make sense. I got to trust them when it don't feel right. I got to trust them when it just seems like it's destroying me. I still got to trust him because he knows the way that I take. And when I come out of it, I shall come out like pure gold. And yes, they may call you strange. They may call you crazy. They may say, don't take all that. It may not take all this. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do this. That's fine. You can call me crazy. You can call me strange. Matter of fact, you can even call me peculiar. Praise God. Let them call you peculiar because that's all lined up in the word. That's in the word of God. It's, yeah, I'm peculiar. Yeah, I'm strange. Call me strange. It doesn't affect me any kind of way. I'd rather be strange. I'd rather be different. I'd rather operate in a way that's different than most people. You know why I'd rather operate in a way that's most different than most people? Because that's the way that God has made me to be. You know, I used to struggle with trying to preach like everybody else. I did. When I was, you know, growing up as a minister and kind of learning some different things, I used to kind of struggle with that. I was like, man, you know, I don't preach like, you know, this person. I don't preach like that person. I don't preach like my cousin, Pastor Major Jones. He's an awesome preacher. I don't preach like him. But praise God, I'm glad I don't, because what God has for him and his dispensation and his level, he may be comfortable in what he's doing, but that's not me, and that's fine. That my gifting is laughter. I like to make people laugh. I like to be who I am. I like to be transparent. And what I found is by me doing that, I'm walking into the very thing that God has ordained and called me to be. I'm not walking into the wide door where I could, you know, hoop holler and do all these different things like everybody else does, but there is a special anointing that he has put aside just for Robert Douglas Jr., for Bobby, just for me. There's an anointing that I have that nobody else has. There's an anointing that you have that nobody else has. You may not be able to preach and spit across the pulpit and do all that different things. You may not be able to be able to prophesy so eloquently, but you may be a person that may hear from God in such a way that nobody else can hear God. And that is the door that you have to walk into. It may not be popular sometimes. It may make you feel like you're not, that you're strange or weird, but that's what God has called us to be. We are strange and peculiar people. My God. We are strange and peculiar people. Strange, peculiar people. Sometimes you got to get comfortable with that. Sometimes you just got to let that be what it is. Strange and peculiar people. Sometimes you have to just allow yourself to walk in the very essence of what he is. Because here it is. 1 Peter 2:9. Okay. But you have to understand, even though you're strange and peculiar, there's something special and different about you. So he beseeches you to go through that narrow door. Strive for that door that is narrow, that many people can't fit through. Here it is. Many people can't fit through. Many people don't even want to go through because it don't look easy. Okay? It looks hard. It looks like it's going to be some sacrifice in there. In other words, it's a narrow door. And if you think about it, look at it in a prophetic sense, it's a narrow door. So that means that you got to position yourself in a proper way so that you can fit through that door. meaning that you have to shave off some things, lay aside some things so that you can fit through that door. Why door? Hey, there's no accountability. Come as you are. Be who you're going to be. Do what you want to do. Wear what you want to wear. Talk how you want to talk. You know, live life. Live it. YOLO. You only live once. All these different things. Do as you will, which is a satanic saying. Be how you want to be. Live like you want to live. No, you can't live like you want to live. But you can, but you're going to, the wide door is a wide hole. That's exactly what it is. On the other side of that door is a wide hole that many people are falling right into. But this door right here leads you up to the very presence and to the throne room of God. It challenges your mind. It challenges your existence. It strips your mind and allows you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not conformed, but be you transformed. Not thinking like everybody else, but be you transformed. In other words, changing yourself into the likeness of Christ that you may see how he walked, and then you begin to follow and see that that is the path that you need to go through. Let's not travel down that path of least resistance. There has to be some type of resistance. That resistance makes you stronger. That resistance makes you better. It makes you wiser. It makes you, it humbles you. But let them call you strange. Let them call you peculiar. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but be ye a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Here is a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Romans 12:1, like I said before, Acts 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Praise God. John 2:1-29. I'm just going to read just a little bit of it. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ, which is the righteous one. And he begins to remove us from that particular sin. But I challenge you, my brothers and my sisters, to strive to go through the narrow door. Because once that door is shut, there's going to be weeping and gnashing teeth. It's going to be destruction and all these different things. And here's what we have to understand, is that Christ is soon to come. And when he comes, he is basically going to remove that path to get to him. Seek him while he may be found. Do the things in life that's going to bring glory to him. And I know that it may not seem easy, it may not seem comfortable, but sometimes you have to get yourself in a place so that God may be glorified. And here's the thing that I believe that we have to do. We have to forgive. You have to forgive. That is a powerful thing. And here's the thing about this world, that we have a world that is an unforgivable world. They'll hold grudges for over years and years and years. And it's sad that some church people will hold grudges and hold things of the past for years and years and years and years. And the thing about it is, the thing that you're holding on to, that person could have been forgiven and have moved on into their life. You know, have moved on, and you're still stuck from what you're trying to get from that person. And you probably would never get it because of the fact that's not the very thing that you need. Sometimes you don't need an apology. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you don't need to hear an apology. And sometimes you do. Sometimes you don't need to hear an apology. You know, sometimes you don't. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times we put so much hope in people. We put so much we give so much and put our hope and our everything into people, that when people fail them, it's like we want them to pay back what they paid. And nobody can truly pay you back for what you paid and heal your broken heart or heal your broken spirit other than God, other than Jesus Christ. Nobody can do that but him. Nobody. Nobody. You know? No, nobody could do that. David found it best. It says in Psalms 51:17, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken, contrite heart, and God will not despise. And sometimes he wants you to have your heart to the place where it's so broken that you realize that, God, my heart is broken so much in so many pieces. I'm looking for people to try to fix it, but I realize that only you can do it. And I need you to fill me right now. Fill me with your love. Fill me in the very essence of my heart. I pray that right now, from this message, that you'll begin to know that the narrow path, we're all striving for that narrow door. And I thank God. I'm so grateful. Here's the thing about that narrow door, is that when we decide to make the decision to strive through that narrow door, we're not in it by ourselves. Amen. We're not in it by ourselves, because he, our shepherd, our father, our savior, he leads us and guides us through that place. He gives us grace and mercy that we may make it through the journey. He gives us direction. He's that pillar of cloud by day and that fire by night. Whatever it is that we need, he is there leading us and guiding us through his word, through our prayer life, through fasting and his voice. He leads us. He leads us down the path of righteousness. He restores our soul. Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we shall, as we begin to journey on, and he allows us to go through, and we allow us to be led by him, we shall dwell in the house of the Lord. So my brother and my sister, no matter what you are going through, always strive for the narrow door, for the door that's going to give you some resistance. That door that's going to, you know, is going to put some fear in your heart. Yes, but you have not been given the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So I challenge you this day that to allow your life to be conformed by Christ. Allow your very will, the very essence of who you are, whatever it is that you are holding to that is keeping you from walking into all the fullness and the transforming power and the sacrificial laying down your heart and your life for Christ. Let it go and trust him. And I guarantee you what is going to take place. You're going to move faster in this path and on this journey than you could ever think. Don't let sin or the things that you desire in this life be a hindering block for you. Release it and let it go. Ask God to help you with whatever thing that you are dealing with in your life that is keeping you from truly walking into a place of holiness. If it is alcohol, God can deliver you from alcohol. If it is pornography, God can deliver you from pornography. If it's smoking weed, God can deliver you from that. If it's lying, God can deliver you from that. If it's stealing, if it's whatever it is, cheating on your spouse, God can deliver you from these things. And there is a peace that comes to your heart, a peace that comes to your soul when there is when you are being reviewed, or when you are being examined and there is nothing there that is found. It's like this. It's like being pulled over by the cops or the sheriff when you know you have not been speeding. You know that you don't have any ticket. You know that your license is still good. You know that your tags are still good. Your taillights are good. Then you have a little bit of a confidence. Well, in a sense, aside from if you get a crooked cop, but you have a little bit of confidence that I have done no wrong. So there's nothing that, you know, that you can hold me on. And that's what the enemy does. He goes back to and fro, seeking something that he can give back to God and use to our account. But my God, the blood of Jesus covers us. The blood of Jesus is our intercessory point. That blood of Jesus covers us and it begins to be our mediator. That when we acknowledge our sins and we confess our sins before him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. Cleanse us from those very things that will be a stumbling block for us and allow us to miss heaven. Allow us to miss when he comes back. Allow us to miss his grace and to miss his glory. We have the ability through his grace and his mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ to begin to get to a place where we can get it right and be continuing to travel on our journey. No, let's not go back. Let's keep on moving forward, because God has a purpose. God has a plan for your life. And I believe that that very purpose and that very plan is something that is going to bless you from generation to generation. It's going to be the very yoke that's going to break off the curse from your past. It's going to be the very thing that's going to stop from all these generational curses from going on and on and passing down from your children and then your children's children. It will be that thing. It may take you to just walk through that door and be the one that will lead and guide them and show them that Christ has a better purpose and a better plan for their lives. My God, I stand in faith covenant agreement with you. I stand to know that God has a plan and a purpose, and he desires that you strive and run fast quickly to that narrow door. And you may think that you don't fit, but you have to challenge yourself and allow things to be shaved off of you so that you can walk through it. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. I remember when I went to Africa one time, and it was kind of profound and it sticks to me to this day. When I went to Africa, we went through a tour of the Ivory Coast, and the Ivory Coast was where you will find that the when the slave traders came and brought all the slaves, they would basically come to the Ivory Coast and they would begin to do different things to kind of sort them out and put them on a different ship that they would take them on to America and to the other nations. Okay. But these slaves that would come there, they would come and their families were torn up. They were ripped from their families. They were stripped and sold into slavery. Ripped out. Some of the women were raped. Some of the men were sodomized and raped as well. Some of the children were raped. It was just a demonic and just a treacherous place. And it was the place where these people were separated from families and taken away from their culture, taken away from their from all different things they were taken from. Okay. And this one thing that stood out to me was this, and it stood out for many different reasons. The tour guide was showing us this path, right? He showed us this like a narrow, it was like a narrow tunnel. And it probably, couldn't be no more than, I want to say about maybe 4 or 5 feet wide, 4 or 5 feet. Or as a matter of fact, I changed that, maybe about 5 or 6 inches wide, right? It was very narrow. Very narrow. And it was like a tunnel or a rock tunnel. And it was tall. It was the rock tunnel. And what the person was saying is that in that tunnel was like different rocks, because in the walls and everything like that. And then there would be glass and metal spikes and all kind of things that were put into this tunnel. And these slaves were pushed through this tunnel. And they were expected or supposed to get out on the other end. Now, mind you, that they're pushed in one after another. They're like just push. And the one that can make it out through the end was considered to be the strongest. And this resonated to me because of this. These people were stripped from whatever they were, and they had to be pushed through this tunnel, and there was cuts and knives and glasses. They're stepping on different things. And the tunnel was not wide enough that you can walk straight in, but you may have to kind of move your body to shift through it and all these different things and all this different stuff. And it was interesting to me. It was just crazy. But I looked at that tunnel and just like, man, my God, how did they make it through that? How would they make it through that? And here's the thing. And I don't mean to take a light of what those slaves went through at all, because it was something that just shook my heart. But I will say this, is that I believe that for the ones that came through that tunnel, it was a problem more than they thought, that those people knew that there was a strength that were in these men that could not be compared. And the sad part about it is, or this part, is that they would use that made them sell them for the highest value because they were considered to be strong and could take a lot. That was the thing. But I said that to kind of bring this, and as I think about it now, is that that narrow tunnel for us may be kind of like that same tunnel that they went through. And I say this in a way, not in a way of as far as in a reference to what took place with them, because it should not have happened. But I say this in a way is that that's kind of how I see the narrow tunnel is. There may be some trials and some tribulations that we're going to face, but glory be to God. Even that situation is a little bit different, because even though it may be a narrow tunnel and we desire to go through it, we're changing our bodies, we're changing, we're turning, we're shifting, turning to the side. We're laying aside every weight so we can be streamlined and walk through those areas. We're laying aside pride. We're laying aside fear. We're laying aside, hatred, anger, envy, strife. We're laying all these things, and we're the Holy Spirit is Christ is leading us through the tunnel, and the Holy Spirit is pushing us through the tunnel. And the thing about it is that even through all these different trials and journeys and things of that nature, when we come out of it, that we are stronger, we are better, and we are wiser. And I challenge you, my brother and my sister, I encourage you right now, is to do the things of God. Do the things of God. Don't let nothing stop you on your path. Don't even let yourself stop you. If you don't have a pattern of fasting and prayer, then get a pattern of fasting and prayer. If you haven't read your word in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, you haven't picked up your Bible, still got dust on it, then dust it off and read that word of God, because there is life in that word. I challenge you to don't just stop and get complacent, but I challenge you to continue to strive through this thing that may be difficult. And you have to accept the fact that, yes, pleasing God is not, it's not easy. It's not easy, but it's not hard. The ways of a transgressor are hard. It's not easy. It's difficult at times. Sometimes you want to throw in a towel. You want to give it up and just, you know what? I just don't even care. And I got to a place in my life at one time that is like, I don't care, but I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit arrested me and brought me into revival and say, no, you got purpose over your life. You got a plan for your life. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. And it takes you to go through this narrow door that you'll be able to see all that God has for you. Don't go through the wide door. Don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged, because the enemy wants to sift you like wheat. But God will raise you up, and he's going to use you. He's going to use you mightily, and he's going to allow you to walk according to his word. Amen. Walk according to his word. Praise God. I hope that you have got something out of this sermon. I pray that God has blessed you. I pray that you have been encouraged. I pray that though when you find yourself wanting to give up the towel and you realize that, yes, I'm going through a door that many people can't walk through, and it's by the grace of God and by his help, by his power, that I'm able to be here. And we begin to praise him and give him glory on that behalf. I pray that you got it. I pray that you are encouraged. I pray that you are lifted up, and I pray that you understand that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And I hope that this sermon, The Narrow Door, encourages you and encourages you to carry on, to keep on going, to keep on moving, keep on striving. Many can't walk down there. Many choose not to, but so glad that you chose to walk through that narrow door. So this day, this morning, this time, I pray and I know that you have been healed, you have been delivered, but praise Lord, you have been restored. This is Pastor Robert J. Douglas with RTRMI Ministries. I am so glad that you joined us today. I wish you blessings for this Sunday. God bless you, and I'm out. Peace.